Hey everyone, Eric and I are on vacation right now, so we've recorded this week's episode ahead of time. Because of this, we do not have the news segment, and this episode will be a little shorter. Enjoy! Hey everyone, welcome to episode 32 of the genericgamingpodcast.mp3. The podcast where we talk about a new game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
You said, hey, everyone, instead of hello, everyone.
Yeah, you're right. The intro thing kind of threw me off, honestly, because usually, you know, I come out strong, but it kind of set a more, you know, a little bit of a toned down episode.
I also get the sense that we're both extremely tired.
We're finally done. With finals and everything, and I'm just ready to sleep.
Oh, yeah. I have a four-hour drive today, and then I'm just going to just sleep.
I got to pack up my house, so that's fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I've pretty much been doing that for the last 2 days. And, yeah, I'm just – I probably got a total of probably 14 hours of sleep this whole week.
That's rough. See, here's the thing. I will get an F before I, like, lose sleep. I just need it. I can't.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm the most productive between the hours of 11 p.m. and like 4 a.m. So that's when I just get like everything done. And to my roommate's luck, when he comes home, when the police knock on my door because he's being drunk outside, that I'm still awake. Because when I'm asleep, I'm pretty much dead when I'm asleep. There's no waking me up. The walls could be burning down around me, and I wouldn't wake up.
Oh, man.
So, like, the police knocking on my door, I just wouldn't have noticed. And he would have spent the night in prison or something. I don't know. Whatever they do with drunk people.
This is a fun story from my childhood. I was staying with my brother in Iowa one time, and it was with him and my other brother, Chase. And my brother, Chase, really heavy sleeper. There was a grease fire. Making breakfast and such, and my brother Chase literally almost slept through like
the fire alarm.
The house burning down.
Yeah, well, I can relate.
We had to drag him out. It was bad.
I think I just don't wake up to noise. Like you could pretty much shake me and then I'll wake up. But like if there's noise, like if a fire alarm's going off, I probably won't hear it. Like my body's only conditioned to wake up to my alarm, and that has to happen in the morning. Like. That's the only noise that will wake me up. Otherwise, you could probably, like, go in my room and just yell, and I'd still just be fine.
I feel like I'm a pretty light sleeper.
Wow. That just seems rough to me. Like, I feel like I wouldn't ever get a good night's sleep then. Although, yeah. I don't really now either, so I guess it wouldn't be that much different. I'd just be awake more often.
I feel like, I don't know what's going on recently, but I feel every time I wake up, I'm like, I feel like I just didn't sleep.
Wow.
And I did, like, for quite a long time, I'd say.
Wow, that sucks.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's the fucking cardboard-ass bed I sleep on.
Yeah, probably. You should get a better bed.
Anyways, before we start, everyone, please, if you enjoy this show, if you've ever enjoyed this show, or you think maybe one day these guys will get their shit together and I will enjoy this show, go rate us on iTunes. Go tell us what games you're playing, what games you'd like us to talk about. Go tell us a fun story. Whatever we want to do, just go get those, you know, those ratings and such. It helps us out a lot. It lets us be more visible out there to the people, and that's good for everyone, mainly us.
Usually I have story ideas for people to write in the reviews, but my brain's so dead today that I'm like, oh shit, I should think of something. Then the moment passed, I'm like, oh well.
We're a few weeks removed from, because, you know, we're obviously recording this ahead of time, but tell us your best final story.
Yeah, there you go. If you're in college and doing finals, tell us how much you hate it.
One time I sat and wrote a paper for, like, I swear to God, like, 12 hours straight. It was so long.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
There was, I think it was, like, the second semester of my sophomore year. I had to write, like, three papers in, like, all in finals week, and they were all, like, pretty substantive, 10 pages kind of thing. And I obviously procrastinated, so it was, like, I felt like I was hooked to my desk for days, dude.
Yeah, I had to write, like, I forgot what class it was. It was obviously pointless because I don't remember. But it was like I had to write like a 3,500 word paper, and it was like due that night. And I just got up and I spent all day writing it.
I kind of like doing that sometimes though. When you're in there in the trenches, you're figuring it out.
It's really nice when it's done.
Yeah.
Like you're like, holy shit, I just did all that. And like, and then you don't even proofread it because you're like, I'm good.
Yeah, that's the thing. I usually most of the time I'll proofread my own stuff, but sometimes if it's long and I'm like, I just spent so long working this, I'll ask my girlfriend Macy, I'll be, hey, you want to proofread this for me?
Yeah, I'll just submit it. I'll be like, I'll send. I don't care. It's good enough. They'll get the gist.
Eric, we have a hot topic. So the hot topic is Detective Pikachu and video game movies. Obviously, this is coming out a few weeks after we're recording, but we just saw Detective Pikachu last night on opening night. Not a whole lot of people were there. It was kind of weird.
We also are in a small town, in a small theater. It was also weird that they were only showing at one theater. Too.
Yeah.
But I guess it made sense. Not like that really sold bonkers numbers. Because it is more of a kids movie, and so.
Yeah, I guess it's more like a weekend type thing. But
I would think, because at our age, like, I would think more people would have played Pokemon, like, growing up.
I only saw, like, two kids there.
Yeah, our theater was mostly college students, which makes sense. We're in a college town. But, like, I figured, like, tons of people from Stout would be like, oh, I grew up playing Pokemon. Let's go see this Detective Pikachu movie.
I mean, we're in finals, too. Maybe they had shit to do. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. And that rules. They have good decision-making, so finals rules over going seeing Detective Pikachu.
So, obviously, we're going to spoil this movie. It's been a few weeks. If you haven't seen it by now, just skip ahead to the next part, all right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, stick around and listen.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't care about seeing it, and we'll talk about it anyways. So, Eric, I want to know your opinion, but I think that Detective Pikachu is the best video game movie I've seen.
Best video game movie? Yeah.
Honestly, that's not a high bar to jump.
It's really not a high bar, but I agree with you. It's definitely really good. I was trying to think, because it's very campy, but it's like campy in a good way. And I was trying to think last night, like, why do I, like, there's a lot of cheesy dialogue in this movie that happens. And I was like, why am I allowing a pass for this movie and not Alita Battle Angel? And I was like,
well, I don't give a shit about Alita as like a, you know, I feel like maybe it's nostalgia.
Yeah. And I saw Tim Gettys put out a tweet that pretty much summed it up, is that this movie is very Disney Channel original movie-esque. I'm like, that's what it is.
Yeah, but with like fucking awesome CG.
Yeah, with like awesome CGI. But like how the characters act and how like the dialogue choices they have and just the fast, like, cutting to make the pacing right. Like, I mean, you pointed out yesterday, as at the end when Pikachu is falling and Mewtwo catches him, the dude teleports to the bottom of the building.
Yeah, like, it's like Pikachu catches him, the guy's on, like, the top floor, and I'm like, oh, no, and then, yeah. And then like, 4 seconds later, he's there. I was like, what, is the, like, did he just take the elevator
down?
Yeah,
like a hyperspace elevator, like, does just shoot, maybe, I guess maybe their elevators are really fast.
I really actually, I liked the main character a lot more than I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of blanking on his name. You remember his name?
No.
Yeah. Anyways, I liked Tim. That was his name. Tim.
Yeah.
I liked
Tim. It's super generic.
I liked Tim. I actually didn't feel like any of his dialogue was like bad or anything. He felt like a pretty good character. But the reporter girl, the like the intern,
she was super campy.
But I kind of felt like it was intentional, where like every time she opened her mouth, she sounded like she was being just way. Like,
yeah,
like she was trying to sound like a cool detective.
Yeah. Well, I definitely got that vibe in the beginning, because she's like trying to play it up and seem really cool.
Yeah.
But like it happens the whole movie. And like at some point it's like, okay, we get it. You shouldn't be trying to be cool anymore.
Yeah. Her Psyduck was funny as hell, though.
Yeah. Her Psyduck was awesome. This movie very much made me want to Pokemon again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ryan Reynolds carried the hell out of this thing.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
God, his performance is so good. And I want to know, I bet, like, a lot of that stuff. Sometimes when he would make a joke, I'm like, I bet Ryan Reynolds just said that.
They go and he just riffs for, like, an hour, 2 hours, just making jokes. And then they take the ones that are the least inappropriate and put it in the movie. But, yeah, I mean, the movie is probably 90% Ryan Reynolds talking as Pikachu.
Yeah, for sure. The plot wasn't great. Like, it was fine. Like, it was serviceable to, like, get us into the world.
Yeah, it was very predictable. I mean, I called it after the first trailer.
So that was my big kind of thing, as I was like, God, I hope they don't do the twist that, you know, spoilers, Pikachu is his dad.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is his dad, which was very obvious in the movie, too, because they just weren't ever showing his dad's face. And if it wasn't Ryan Reynolds, they would show his face.
I kept thinking, I was like, how does that make sense? Because, like, is Ryan Reynolds old enough to be that dude's dad?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is pretty old. He was a child.
I guess. I don't know. I just, like, that's why I kept thinking he was, like, I kept thinking it was going to be someone, like, older. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so when it was Ryan Reynolds, looking very dapper, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he looks very... That's, like, how Ryan Reynolds looks normally.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird to see. Like, he was just...
He didn't look like a detective. He looked like Ryan Reynolds, like, hipster.
Yeah, just
hipster
showed
dad.
Up. Like, yeah, it was like Ryan Reynolds just showed up to set, and they just recorded that, like, scene. Like, they didn't costume him or anything. Although in the Pokemon universe, I guess that maybe makes sense. But he was, like, wearing a cardigan, wasn't he? Like, I wouldn't expect, like, a
I don't
detective.
Remember. I just remember he had glasses very similar to what you have on, like, thick like, yeah. black-framed, like, mm-hmm. circular glasses. Like, I was just saying, I was like, damn, Ryan. The first thing I thought was, oh, damn, Ryan Reynolds is good-looking dad.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is hot, dude.
Yeah. Hot man. I liked the kind of storyline about... Oh, touched the mic with my hat. My bad about that one. I don't know. I guess I didn't really expect there to be, like, such tension between Tim and his dad. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I actually kind of liked that whole, like, something. I was like, oh, like, they're not, like, a perfect family. Like, he didn't even live with his dad. He lived with his grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
It made sense within the narrative of Pokemon, where there's just never any dads around.
Oh, yeah, I never thought about that.
That's what I was thinking, like, the whole time. I'm like, is this why there's never dads around? They go off and work and just leave their children?
And that's, like, why he, like, didn't want Pokemon, because, like, his dad, like, I don't know, gave him more of a shit, I guess, about Pokemon than him.
Uh-huh. Which, yeah, I thought his dad was, like, a trainer or something for some reason in the beginning. But, no, it's kind of weird that everyone only has, like, one Pokemon.
Yeah, I also thought that was weird.
It's cool that no one puts them in Pokeballs, though. Like, they all just... Well, I guess that's the reason.
Yeah, like, that was, like, the rule of, like, the city.
Rhyme City, yeah.
Because in the beginning, when they were showing the Pokemon battles, that dude had more than one Pokemon. So
yeah,
it sounds like maybe
a cool
that's a Rhyme
scene.
City thing.
Yeah, I like that moment with Cubone, too. It kind of showed how powerful Pokemon are, too, that this little tiny-ass Cubone just wrecks this dude.
Oh, yeah, that was... It was so funny, and he was, like... His friend kept, like, making fun of him. He's like, oh, it's super easy. Like, it doesn't require any skill. Just throw the ball.
Because the guy, his friend's the dude from Deadpool also that drives the taxi.
Like, I wonder if that's because, I mean, Ryan Reynolds is in Deadpool, too.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're, like, friends or something.
Yeah, probably. And that's why he probably just, like, oh, put this guy in. Although, the problem, I guess they're not supposed to be young. But, like, he had, like, the hat on, too. And, like, he was, like, a Pokemon trainer or something. So that was pretty cool. It was cool in the montage, too, when, Tim's on the train going to Rhyme City, that they had, like, the Pokemon Coliseum. And do you think that dude that was walking up was red? Because he was wearing all red.
Yeah, he did kind of look like.
Yeah. So that's what I was assuming, is that he was red.
I was going to ask you before the movie, but I just forgot. And I was going to say, do you think that we're going to get a reference to the song? The moment where Detective Pikachu, it's like the whole dramatic thing. They him and Tim are not friends anymore because of the whole whatever. It's kind of a convoluted thing. But and he's walking down the street like super depressed and singing.
See,
it.
like crying. They did that so well because it would have been super campy if like they just like had it play or something. But like the fact that they had him like sing it while he's like crying and moping was so good.
Oh, so funny. I was impressed with how many Pokemon we got to see.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it also made me realize that I don't know, like, a lot of the later Gen 1s, because I was like, remember when they were walking with the Bulbasaurs?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know those mushroom Pokemon.
I was like, who the fuck are these things? Like, are these new? Or did they make these up?
Yeah, I didn't know what those were. I think those were the only ones I didn't know. But I knew all the rest of them.
It was super cool, too, just seeing, like, Pidgeys and Pidgeots and stuff like flying around the city.
Yeah, it was really cool, but I thought that was the worst CG in the movie.
Really?
Was the Pidgeys flying.
Okay, yeah.
Especially in the beginning when Tim and the one dude are going to catch the Cubone, and it does like that drone shot, and then the Pidgeys come in and fly through the screen.
Yeah.
I'm like, that just doesn't look good. And it was at the beginning of the movie, too. I'm like, oh, boy. Hopefully the rest of the movie isn't like this. Because it very much seemed like they spent all the money on making Pikachu look the best.
Yeah. And it was funny that you could kind of see there were a lot of repeating Pokemon because it was like they only had so many models or whatever, so it was easy. And it was like easier to kind of reuse those in the background.
Yeah, I'm still upset at how small Snorlax was.
Yeah, that was kind of because like the whole point was that he's supposed to be like big enough to like block a fucking road, you know?
Yeah, which was funny that he was blocking the road like he does in the game.
Just
because
he was asleep there.
Yeah. And then people just have to go around him like no one can't really wake him up. So
I liked Yeah, all the Pokemon that were there were, like, fun. I liked the detective guy's Snubbull, and he was, like...
Oh, yeah.
He just super, like, he's like, is your Snubbull mad at me? He's like, no, he's just, you know, he may look angry on the outside. He, like, tries to, like, pet him, and he's like, "Rrr."
Yeah.
It's funny.
And then once Tim leaves, he's all happy and nice again.
Oh, man. Yeah, I really think that this is, like, the first, like, really good it wasn't like, this isn't like an Oscar award winning film. Yeah, it was super, like I said, like the plot was fine, it was serviceable, but like getting into that world, like it made it really believable. Mm-hmm. And I think that they did a really good job like representing Pokemon like as it is to the people who like it.
Yeah, they stuck very true to the source material, which was awesome.
And I really think that this is like the way to do these movies, is that like Detective Pikachu is not an important Pokemon game, right? Like, yeah. I never fucking played that game. Like, I don't know anything about it. But they took it, and so, you know, we don't have the problem of, like, oh, who the fuck's gonna play Ash? You know what I mean? Like, those are already characters that we know. But, yeah. Like, most people, I feel like, don't know this guy. So it was like, okay, cool. We get to know this Tim guy. Like, mm-hmm. Detective Pikachu is, like, you know, we get to know him. Whatever. Yeah.
Which, in the movie, they made a reference to Kanto. So Ash may exist still.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, I just don't know if I want that. Like,
I don't really want to see it, but I like that they had the reference to it, and that Mewtwo came from the Kanto region.
Yeah.
And like that, so pretty much we know that the Pokemon movie happened in this universe.
The one thing that I was like, I said this even before it came out, is that I was like, fuck, I really wish they wouldn't have shown Mewtwo, because I wish that wasn't a plot line. Like, I would have loved if this was a small story in the Pokemon universe. It's this dude
I think it was still small, even though they had Mewtwo.
Yeah.
I like how they used him, for sure.
And
like,
I guess
he was just kind of, like, he got caught, because he's basically a god, and so people were just abusing his power, which I thought was kind of cool.
And I guess it makes sense that, like, that's why he could talk to Detective Pikachu or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just was like, damn, wouldn't it be cool if we got like this like small story like within the Pokemon universe? Like, there wasn't these huge high stakes.
Yeah, it's kind of, the ending's kind of sad, because it's like, oh, I don't know how they're going to do like a Detective Pikachu 2, because now he doesn't talk to the
Pikachu. Now he's just a normal Pikachu.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and Tim can't understand him anymore, so.
Whatever, I think it worked, and I like that there's, like, this whole, like, the whole kind of point is he's, like, bridging this relationship with his dad,
yeah.
Who he thought was fucking dead, but...
Yeah, but it's really Pikachu.
Anyways, good movie. I think that I would like, more, if they're gonna try to do more video game movies, like...
Do it like that.
Do it like that.
Make an original story using, like, the source material. Like, if you're gonna make an Uncharted movie, don't have it be about Nathan Drake, baby.
Yeah. Well, I guess Detective Pikachu was an established story, but it wasn't one.
Yeah, but it's not like anyone that, like, a big one anyone cares about.
Yeah.
Like, do the Chloe and do the Lost Legacy story. Like, that would be better.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's what I'm saying, is like, God, I don't even want to see them try to do Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
Like,
unless Nathan Fillion's doing it. Like,
and, like, I think they're working on a Last of Us movie, right? Like, I don't want that. I really don't want that.
I don't want that either. I hope it just gets canned.
Like, I don't know. I understand, like... You know, it doesn't taint the source material, but, like, God, it kind of just does in my brain. Like,
yeah,
fuck,
right?
Don't make it, dude.
Plus, it means we have to go see it. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, this fucking Sonic movie, like, I'm going to have to go see it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
well,
want
it
to.
Might be good now. They're rechanging everything.
Nah, I don't think so. That wasn't really my problem with the movie.
Yeah, the way Sonic looked. Yeah, honestly. Jim Carrey's going to carry that movie for sure.
Yeah, that was a good cast, I think.
Yeah. Cool that I like... The Sonic trailer also just showed the whole movie. Why do trailers show the whole movie nowadays? Sucks.
There was another movie. Oh, the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer. I was like, why are you showing so much, dude?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding?
Well,
after coming from Endgame, where it was like so, like, I had no idea what the fuck that movie was.
Yeah.
It was so annoying to watch that Far From Home trailer and just like watch the fucking
My
first
problem
half
with
the
Far
movie.
From Home trailer, spoilers for Endgame potentially, just throw that out there. But my problem with the, or not, my... theory is that the Far From Home trailer is a lot of just red herrings to just trick the audience, I think.
Well, yeah, I guess everyone's like kind of wondering about Mysterio, you know?
Yeah.
Right? But like, we know, right? Like, there's no way he's not going to be a bad guy.
Well, yeah, he's going to be a bad guy, but the whole thing's about he's from a different universe.
Oh, yeah, that's not true,
like,
I feel like.
I don't think, it's like, it could be, but I don't think it is, because like, his character is just a long bitch all the time, so.
But I don't know, man, again, I just wish that they wouldn't have shown everything.
I really just want to get, like, the end of Far From Home, like, just Mysterio or Jake Gyllenhaal just acting, like, pathetic and cowardly, because I think that would be so funny.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Because, like, Jake Gyllenhaal, another very beautiful man, and so, like, just seeing him be pathetic, I think, would be nice.
Did you, I lost my train of thought. What the hell was I going to say? Did you see that video of, Tom Holland went to Disneyland and dressed up as like Spider-Man, like, and like didn't tell anyone he was Tom Holland, and he was like taking these pictures with these kids, and Zendaya and Tom Holland's fat friend in the movie and Jake Gyllenhaal came out and like photobombed the picture, and everyone was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then Tom Holland took off the mask and everyone like fucking freaked out.
Yeah.
I love it when people do that. It's cool.
I feel like if I was famous, I'd do that all the time. Just prank people with my presence. Like, that'd be funny.
Apparently, Johnny Depp used to go to Disney World and like go to the Pirates of the Caribbean.
And be
one of the like
the pirate people.
Yeah, the animatronics. Yeah, he'd like pretend to be one of the animatronics, which I think is pretty funny.
That was pretty good too, because then you get the scare factor in there too, because people think you're a robot, and then you touch them, they freak out. So that's pretty good.
Maybe don't do that, but
Johnny Depp shouldn't be touching people.
All right, Eric. Bum 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 bum. Game of the show. All right, we're talking about Satisfactory, and I have some questions before we get started.
Yeah, go for it. Ask a bunch of questions, because feel like, and feel free to stop me at any point.
Yeah, okay,
this is my
question, and I want to know why you want to talk about this game, and I want to know how we want to frame it.
Okay.
Because every time we talk about this game, you kind of meander, and I get very lost.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no one's going to
listen to this. So that's kind of what I want to talk about, because we have talked about Satisfactory a bunch. And so, and every time we talk about it, I just get super into the weeds and into a bunch of details about setting stuff up. And I kind of want to talk about this game, because this game is very approachable, despite how I've been describing it as of late.
So let me interview you a little bit.
Go for it.
Satisfactory, the whole point is to build a factory that's, you know, I don't know what you're making. Are you making something?
You're making a factory that makes products, basically.
Like anything, or are you choosing?
Well, you're choosing, and so you're basically, it's kind of, you're making products so that you can make other products, basically. But then, like, you have a bunch of resources and in the world, and you set up miners and conveyor belts to get from the miners to your factory, basically. And the miners are excavating these resources, so you're getting, like, iron, limestone, copper, stuff like that. And you're using those to make things so that those things can be made into other things.
Do you sell anything?
No.
You're a self-sustaining factory.
You're a self-sustaining factory, and you have to make things to keep progressing your factory, basically.
Okay.
And what you're doing is, so throughout, like, the main focus of the game is that there are these milestones that you have to unlock. And to unlock milestones, you have to basically get a certain number of materials and load them up into, like, this capsule that you shoot in space. Because you work for this company called Fixit, and you were sent to this foreign planet to basically harvest all its resources and send them back.
Oh, okay.
And so you're basically, you get that, and then as you do that, you unlock more and more milestones, which give you more things to make. You can get, like, faster conveyor belts. You get different things that allow you to make, like, more complicated things and stuff like that.
All right. So, you said this game is approachable. It sounds kind of complicated. Do you feel like it does a good job of, like, teaching the player the basics and stuff?
So when I was going into it, I was watching a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff, so I already kind of had, like, a little bit of a head start. But, like, if you were to just jump into this game just straight out the gate, not knowing anything, I think it's, like, it starts you very slow and lets you just figure it out. So at the beginning of the game, you drop down in a capsule pod from space, and you get a cool animation as the capsule comes burning into the atmosphere and then crashes down on the Earth. And then there's, like, this woman, like, it's kind of like a robot Siri voice, but a little bit deeper, that is kind of narrating and telling you what to do. So she'll come out and she's like, "Welcome to the planet," and stuff like that. And then she's like, "Dismantle the capsule." And so you do that, and you get, like, I forgot what it is, but it's like a home hub station or something. It's like a part you need to create the hub. And then it's like, okay, then it tells you to, like, locate iron, because that's, like, the first resource you're gonna need, and build your hub near an iron source to basically make the game easier for you. And so then you do that, and then after that, it basically keeps giving you, like, steps and series until eventually the game, it opens up more where you can start choosing what step you want to do next. Like, milestone one only has, like, one thing to unlock, and then milestone two has, like, two, and then three has, like, four, like, paths you can unlock and stuff like that.
Okay, so you're not just kind of following the path. You get to kind of personalize.
You get to kind of choose how you want to go through the path, Because in the milestones, like, each of the paths have, like, different parts you can choose. So, like, if you want to do, say you're really far away from copper, and so you're kind of avoiding doing that, and you want to do more stuff with iron, and, like, path one in milestone three has more iron stuff you can use for iron, you can do that one instead of, say, like, path two, which has more copper stuff. But you don't want to do that yet, because you're not to that point.
So is just the kind of upgrading and stuff, like, that's the appeal? Are you getting a lot of satisfaction from, like, actually building a working factory that is, like, satisfactory, whatever?
Yeah, so a lot of the appeal for me is, like, just making a really clean and, like, really optimal factory. And that's where I get into the weeds whenever we ever talk about it, is because then you can start talking about the numbers. And which the game does very well at, you can figure out and do all the math. Like, it's not even, like, complicated. It's basically just multiplication and addition and kind of working with percentages, basically. And so as you have, like, machines, like, so if we're doing, like, just simple making iron plates, which is, like, the easiest thing to make in the game, you're going to have a miner to a smelter to a constructor. And so if you have the Mark One miner, it will mine resources at a certain rate. And so if your conveyor belt will take those resources at that rate, you have 100% efficiency in your smelting to in your miner to your smelter, right?
Okay.
And then your smelter also smelts at a certain rate. So you want to make sure that number lines up, so you have 100% efficiency in that. And then once you have the smelted, you get from smelted raw iron, you get iron bars. And so those will move into the constructor, and then you're basically done after the construction. So you kind of just go through, and with each system, you just have to kind of do one thing at a time.
Okay.
And obviously that's the easiest thing in the game, and so that's kind of easy to make 100% efficient, like, always. But, like, that's the first thing you make, and so it's the easiest. When you get to things like computers, like, it just gets ridiculously complicated, because to make one computer thing, you need to have four separate resources going into an assembler, which will then make the computer.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so you basically, it just kind of keeps getting more and more complicated as you have to make more and more complicated
things. And so are you, like, expanding your factory, like, size-wise as well this whole time?
Yeah, you're always going to have to be making it bigger, because, I mean, these things, what's really cool about this game is, one, it's a very pretty game. Like, it looks really good. And all the kind of structures all have, like, their own animations, and they're all, like, they're, like, believable sizes, like, of things you'd think that have to do their job. So everything's pretty big that you're placing down. And so, yeah, you're going to have to quickly expand, keep building your factory. And the cool thing about Satisfactory from other kind of, there's a lot of other factory sims out there that you can play, but Satisfactory is a three-dimensional one. And so you can, like, expand your stuff, like, on the kind of a 2D axis, like, all horizontally, you could also go vertically with your factory,
hell
too.
Yeah.
And so, like, right now they have what they're calling the experimental build out, which is they're kind of introducing new stuff to it that doesn't, like, kind of screw up the main game, because the game is in early access. And one of the cool things they just came out with are these conveyor belts that go vertically. And so they're, like, kind of like carriers that will bring things up. And so, like, it just helps to make your factory a lot more vertical, as you can just now just go straight up. Sounds dangerous. Yeah. But it's like lifting. It's kind of like a lift. It's cool how they did it.
Yeah, for sure. So I remember last time we talked about this, you mentioned that is there, like, combat in this game? You said they're, like, because you're on an alien planet, they're, like, aliens or something?
Yeah, so the game is technically a survival game. But you don't have to worry about, like, eating and drinking and managing stamina and a bunch of, like, those kind of stats you would have to manage normally in a survival game. You instead just have a health bar that you regenerate health by eating berries and nuts that you can find over just around on the planet. And so, yeah, it is an alien planet, and there are just a bunch of different creatures out there. And you have, at first, in the beginning of the game, you have a little, like, kind of stun stick. I forgot what it's called. But it does, like, very little damage. But you can kill stuff. It just takes a few hits. And then later you get, like, this basically electric sword kind of rod thing that will, you can kill stuff in, like, two hits. And you can fight much easier with that.
So can you set, like, are they going to, like, attack your factory? Do you need to, like, set up defenses?
No, not really. They'll only attack you. And, oh, okay. And once, the cool thing is as you like expand more and more your factory, you're kind of depleting and ruining the environment.
Oh,
and
man.
So things won't spawn near your factory and stuff like that. And like trees won't grow back if you cut them down, and bushes and stuff won't grow back if you cut them
so
down.
So this game
like
a little
this.
Bit of a metaphor, maybe?
Yeah, well, a little bit. I mean, this you are depleting this. The whole point of this game is to deplete this planet of its resources. So you're just basically there to kill the planet.
Damn, it's kind of messed up, dude. You just come down here, you fuck up all these aliens, you build a giant-ass factory on their planet, and then you fucking murder it.
Yep, and then leave and go to a different one, pretty
oh,
much.
Oh, so they're different planets?
No, but I'm sure, like, Satisfactory 2, yeah, we'll leave and go to a different one. The map is also huge. I haven't even explored the whole thing. So there's, like, three spawn points in the beginning of the game, and I chose the desert spawn point. And then later, my friend got the game, and I joined his world, and he chose, like, the deep forest area. And it was like a new map, because I just had never been over there.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so, yeah, the map's massive, and so I haven't even taken the time to, like, go around and explore the whole thing yet.
So you think this game's coming to Switch?
It's possible. I mean, the team working on it's very small, so it's going to take a while. I mean, the game's still in early access. I think it would be cool on Switch, for sure.
I've really been itching for a sim, but, like, here's the issue. I don't really care about The Sims. I feel like that's not my kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, and I'd love to play, like, SimCity, but that's not a console game.
No.
And
well, City Skylines, I think, is on Switch, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. There's some city building sim on Switch. I forgot what it's called. I think it's City Skylines. Or what's the other one? I don't know. It's something like that. There is a city building Switch on... Or city building sim on Switch, though. I just don't remember what it's called. Because my brother is
City
it.
Skyline is on Switch, but the first thing that pops up if you look up City Skyline Switch is a video from someone that says, does City Skyline on Nintendo Switch actually suck?
Yeah, so I guess we'll talk about City Skylines for a second because I do have stuff to say. So my brother has City Skylines. I think he has City Skylines. For Switch, because he commutes to work, and he rides the train a lot, and so, like, he has, like, a 40-minute train ride, basically, to work every day. And so, Switch, great for that, obviously, and so he got City Skylines, and the thing is, he likes it. The problem he has with it, though, is it's kind of limiting compared to what you can do, like, on PC.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, there's a bunch of stuff, like, that's just not on the Switch version that's on PC and stuff that you get from mods and stuff that are just in the game. Like, the thing he really doesn't like is that in City Skylines on PC, you can go in and, like, manage traffic. And so you can set up traffic basically how you want with... Like, how, like, if you want stop signs here, stop lights there, make it a two-way or three-way intersection, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you can't do that on Switch. Like, it always just makes it stop lights, and so it always causes traffic problems.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, his way around that was to just make no intersections, and so, like, so that improved traffic.
All right. That sounds fun. I feel like maybe that would scratch an itch, because I am kind of feeling something. Like, I almost bought Sims, but again, I'm like, I just want to build the houses and stuff. Like, that sounds
fun. Yeah, exactly.
Fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was thinking about leaving my PC here, and I was like, hey, because your girlfriend really wanted to play Sims, and I'm like, you could just play it on my PC until I get back, but no, I'm taking it with me.
I should just buy it on my PS4. She can play it on that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Sims is on console.
It's like still like $50, I think, though.
Is it really? It can't be that expensive.
I think it really, I mean, that game's super popular still. It's got a huge fan base.
I guess that's true.
And so, like, I hate those. I understand. People are still playing this game a lot.
You could probably get cheaper, though, if you, like, buy it physical.
Oh, yeah, like GameStop or something.
Yeah, it's just going to be that. It's probably just that expensive because freaking PlayStation Store never lowers their prices unless it's a flash sale.
But you know those games that, like, Melee, like, still, like, $30 or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, goddamn, dude, this game's old as hell.
Yeah, like, Nier Automata is, like, 4 years old now. It's still $60.
People like it, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever, supply and demand. So back to Satisfactory. So what else you got to say about this game without, I don't want to hear about, you know, the way that you're optimizing your fucking factory.
I don't know. The game is gorgeous. Like, it's basically, what I really like about it is it's the mindlessness that Sims basically provide you where you're...
Sounds like a podcast game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I put on, I either put on, like, music or I'm just listening to a podcast while I play the game. And, like, I already have 30 hours in the game, And you're just kind of going there and you're just chucking away. It's like, it's very much like Ubisoft games, you know, where you're just hitting those check boxes.
That is very satisfying. Yeah. I love that. Scratches a very certain itch.
And so, like, that's all you're doing. Like, you don't have to think too hard about it. You just kind of do, you're kind of, it, you have to think a little bit if you want to optimize. If you don't want to optimize, you could just set stuff up. And it's like, hey, you could just, you could, what you could do too is, like, if you're running short on a resource and you kind of want more of them faster, instead of optimizing, you could just build, like, 7 more of that kind of system, and there you go. You've made it basically increase production rate.
So it can be, you can make, like, a fun factory as well.
You know? Could do. There's, I should have wrote down this dude's channel because this guy, it's like Let's Game It Up or something is this YouTube channel. If you go to the Satisfactory subreddit, everyone always usually posts this dude's videos because his, like, everyone, the thing about Satisfactory is, like, you make it really clean and kind of OCD perfect, you know, like, to make the factory look awesome, having all the conveyor belts and lines. And this dude's basically whole goal is to make it just as needlessly awful and disgusting and just a mess as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
And so he spent, like, he has these, and his videos are edited so well and they're so good. I really should have wrote the name down, but it's like Let's Game It Up or something. And, he spent, like, forever. He made this basically conveyor tornado that just is just a massive amount of conveyor belts going up in, like, a cone cylinder. And every time he looks at it, it just murders the frame rate of his game.
Oh,
like, it goes from, like, I run the game at, like, 120 FPS, and, like, his goes from, like, that to, like, 2 frames a second. Like, it just is chugging to, like, load it all in. And then he went and made, he spent like 5 hours to make this, what he calls the conveyor weave, where it takes, it's like from a coal mine to get to his factory. And it takes like 5 real-time hours to get the coal from the miner to it because he made such a, this massive fucking weave that it has to go through. So
sounds,
it's
like
great.
Fun.
You can do whatever you want in this game. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. I do, before we wrap up, I do want to talk about, because we were talking about podcast games, and I don't know if this is a thing for you, but do you ever go from playing a game that's like, a Satisfactory, a podcast game? This is where, you know, I play this game, I'm catching up on stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go to playing a game like where you actually have to pay attention and like there's dialogue and story and stuff. Do you ever get like a little like, oh shit, like I wish I was multitasking right now?
Yeah, I do. Because there's times where I'm like, there's times where I won't play a game because it's like I have stuff I want to listen to or like things like that, and so I'm like, I'll just play this game because I don't want to have to pay attention to something. And I wish there is those insane people out there though that like play like they'll play like God of War and then listen to a podcast.
No, that's horrible. Don't do
like,
that.
Yeah, that's like I couldn't do that. Speaking of which, that God of War documentary.
Yeah, it dropped. I want to watch it really bad.
Yeah,
I might
probably watch that later today and talk about that in 3 weeks.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Or I guess next week, probably, for listeners of this episode.
All right, everyone. This has been the GenericGamingPodcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week when Ryan Reynolds comes on to talk about how he was a bad dad and how he wants to make up for it. Anyways, we love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.